Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I thank the Lord that He is. I thank the Lord for every soul that has ears to hear His voice. And I mean it. I love God. I love His people. You know, and I thank God. This is the first Heart to Heart broadcast this year. Today is January the 3rd. 2022. And I thank the Lord for such a day as this. Here we are in 2022, serving the Lord. I didn't know the grace of God would last. Well, I knew the grace would last long, but I didn't know that the people of God would still be here by now. And I thank the Lord that He waited, and He's pleading with us. He's helping us understand. He's given me time to do my job, and I thank God for that. I really do. I'll never forget 2017, just before Thanksgiving, the Saturday before Thanksgiving, the Lord spoke to me and said, "Tell my people my return is imminent. Be ready that they be not left." And a lot of good happened because of that. I started, I remembered the vision I had back in 1984, I think it was 84 when I had a vision of the rapture, and when I worked at Food Giant in those days, and the Lord showed me what the rapture would be like, because I asked. I was sacking groceries that day, and He showed me a vision of a lady pushing a basket. He used my setting. I was still sacking groceries. The vision happened while I was still sacking groceries, and I saw the lady in the red dress. Just, I heard the shofar horn, and just as loud as it could be, and she disappeared, red dress and all, and about five people out of 30 disappeared with her in the grocery store in my peripheral vision. So I'm still sacking groceries. I just saw visions. I was amazed. I think that was the first vision I saw. Nevertheless, I was amazed and I was happy. I had to believe. I said, "God just showed me a vision." I thought it would take a long time for He to do it. He did it immediately, as soon as I asked Him to. And I kind of rejoiced quietly to myself as I finished sacking the groceries. Now, and when He said that, I started looking at YouTube videos of other people that had rapture visions. And eventually I saw, I'm interested in outer space. I love space movies. I love, you know, space is a mystery to me. I love to look at the stars at night. And here's a man who died and went through the Milky Way. I said, "I got to listen to this." And it happened to be Henry Groover. And he was interviewed by Steve Quayle, two men of God that I really love and I truly recommend. You need to watch. if you have access to YouTube, wherever you are on earth, and if you don't have access, and if you don't have access to the internet, pray that God will open a door for you to get videos and information from Henry Groover and Steve Quayle, two great men of God. Also Tom Horn, Timothy Averino, and L.A. Marzulli, great men of God. They have a lot to say concerning these days and good information. But the Lord has given me, what, 5 years, going on six, to minister life, to warn people that His return is imminent. And I thank God that He gave me such a time. You know, he told me this in time to help His people hear His word, not be taken by surprise. Some people will be, because they won't listen. Now, the Lord warns people again and again, but that doesn't mean they'll listen. Some people listen, some people don't. Some people don't have ears to hear anymore. And we all need ears to hear. If we don't have ears to hear, then people, you know, just like the flood of Noah, the rain happens when people are planting other things. You know, and before it rained, the great deep broke. The ground became like quicksand. The great deep broke and people were trapped. Then it rained. You don't want to be caught off guard, but people will be caught off guard. And a lot of Christian people are going to be surprised when the rapture happens. And the Lord told me things about it, that people on earth will be looking for their people here. people in heaven will be looking for their people there. And sometimes they'll find each other. Thank God for that. Much rejoicing and much crying in both realms. Now, it's time now to take the Lord serious. The Lord gave me Jeremiah chapter 11 today, and I studied it. I read it several times before I did the broadcast. And I was studying the mindset of people. The mindset of those who choose defiance over the grace of God. They'll rather be an enemy against the people of God than to receive the message and live. As amazing as it is, it happens. As crazy as it is, it happens. You know, and I try to see people say wrap your mind around something like that, but when you have the love of God in you, you just can't imagine being defiant against Him. Listen to verse 1. This is Jeremiah 11, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Hear ye the words of this covenant, and speak unto the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeys not the words of this covenant." Now the Lord told them the truth. His love is warning them. He said, "Cursed be the man that obeys not the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them according to all which I command you. So shall ye be my people, and I will be your God." This is grace all day long. This is the love of God towards people that should have listened. God loves every soul, and He works with people. Now, He works with people. When He said, my return is imminent to me, I was actually, I said, Lord, I got to do something. I got to tell people. I felt the urgency of it. The fear of the Lord was on me. I couldn't wait to do radio broadcasts, minister life to people, teach the Sunday school. The Sunday school was the first people to hear what the Lord had told me. Because that was Saturday, I ministered in Sunday school the next day. And you can go back and listen to it. Go to, audio page 1 or 2. 2017 would have been, I think, audio page 2. So it was audio page 1 or 2, and it's the November. It's the day before Thanksgiving. You know, I talked about it. It's still on there. And the Sunday school broadcast begins with the letters FS for fresh start, and then it has the day, the month, and day. And back then, it may have had the year with it, but I had to shorten it. It was so many files, I shortened it. I just put the month and day on it. After that. Anyway, nevertheless, you can listen to it in real time. It's on the website. So, the Lord, that gave me time. I didn't think I would see a year. I was surprised to see 2 years. I thought the Lord's return was imminent, because in 2016, He started dealing with me about end time things, more than ministry things, you know, on the radio. I used to deal with a lot of topics. Life topics, things to help people live better. Always pointing to Jesus. But He started dealing with me with end time things, just like He's doing Jeremiah chapter 11. Now, this is the calm before the storm. The Lord was warning His people. He said, "Obey my voice and do them according to all which I command you. So shall you be my people, and I will be your God." Then He said this in verse 5, "that I may perform the oath which I have sworn unto your fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day." Then answered I and said, "So be it, O Lord." Then the Lord said to me, "Proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear ye the words of this covenant and do them. For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, obey my voice. That's what God had to say. Now watch verse 8. Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the imagination of their evil heart. How about that? Listen to verse 8 again. That's just the beginning. It gets worse. Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did them not. See, if you read Deuteronomy chapter 28, you see both sides of this thing. First the blessings, then the curses. God's trying to help them avoid a firestorm. But watch what happens. Verse 9. And the Lord said unto me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words. And they went out to other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. See, it happened in that order. Israel broke it first, then Judah. And I tell you one thing. I studied the kings. I started in 1 Samuel and I ended in 2 Chronicles. And Judah did real good until Jehoshaphat's son married Ahab's daughter. That's when Judah went downhill. When Jehoshaphat's son married Ahab's daughter, they started having wicked kings just like Israel did. And after Jeroboam, they never had a righteous king that stuck with the things of God. Only Jehu, that he helped judge Baal, but he ended up doing the same thing that Jeroboam did. See, they died doing the same things that Jeroboam did. They sinned after his style. Terrible. These things don't have to happen, but see, sin does things to a man that they don't understand. And I hate that I don't, it's a sad thing that people don't break it down on TV. The TV preachers, not all, hopefully, you know, a lot of people that's on television, I don't know what they're doing. Sin will kill you. It will change your habit system. It will defile you. It will change the way you give advice. It will destroy your influence. It does terrible things to your character. And it, see, Jesus put, let me give it to you like Jesus said. Sin will cause you to be the enemy of God. That's what sin, that's the wages of sin is death, because sin will cause you to choose to be the enemy of God. It's dangerous for you. But see, a friend of the world is enmity to God. That's what he said. If your friendship with the world system causes you to choose to be the enemy of God. In 2016, when the Lord started dealing with me about his return and how he had warned people for, you know, I was concerned. I said, Lord, if you return now, a lot of people hadn't been warned, right? Because people hadn't been preaching the full gospel anymore. And I'm not talking about the charismatic gospel, full gospel, where people include the baptism of the Holy Spirit. No, I'm talking about rejecting sin and breaking things down, following God, following the plan of God, the protocol of God. The problem is people don't, when the Lord had me warning churches to follow God, they follow God to their specs, their specifications, not his specifications. See, Jesus did nothing without approval from the Father. Everywhere he preached, every message he preached, everything he taught, he did it at the order of God. He didn't do anything unless God had already dealt with him about what to do from day to day. Even who he selected to be his disciples, all the way up to how he taught them, And you notice he didn't break down a parable till they asked for it. And then he taught people that were babes. He taught people with great discretion. He didn't give God's information to wicked people. He showed them the heart of his will as they asked and as they were hungry for it. And he put the hungriest people first, Peter, James, and John, in that order. That's why you have to watch what he does. You have to watch what he does and how he does it and the people he does things through. Because every miracle, from the time God made Adam, God does his miracles through men, all of them. Now, but see, Judah turned back. They changed after they, see, it don't take but one sinner to do great, terrible things. When Jehoshaphat's son married Ahab's daughter, you see them having evil kings. And this is the result. Verse 10, they turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words. Not the forefathers which repented, but the ones that refused to hear his words. And they went after other gods to serve them. So that meant their hearts got harder. When your heart gets harder, your character change, your influence change, what excites you change, your appetites change. You're being transformed into Satan's image and not Jesus' image. Then he said this, continuing, the house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. Therefore, now watch what happens now. Therefore, thus, verse 11, therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. You know what? The Lord has a protocol. If you follow him, and he has to have a ready protocol if you change your mind like they did, if you choose the way of darkness. Let's look at verse 11 real clear. This is a key verse here. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken to them. Because if God don't listen, it's because they have a faint heart. Their heart is so calloused against God, God won't even listen to them. He gave them over to a reprobate mind, and they don't want him in their heart. They don't want God anymore. Just look at verse 11 real close. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry to me, I will not hearken to them. Then shall the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem go and cry unto the gods unto whom they offer incense. But they shall not save them at all in the time of their trouble. Their heart is so hard, they don't stay there and pray and break their fallow ground and get right with God. No. When God don't listen to them, because they didn't change their heart, they go and cry unto other gods. God know what he's doing. He know how to judge men. He know what their heart is doing. He know what people's hearts are doing. So when he makes a decision, it's based on what people have done first. The judgment, the curse, causeless, will not come. God has to have a ready response, whether men do good or whether they do evil. Time is winding up. Time is running out. He's winning. I used to wonder, Lord, you told me your return is imminent. And here we are 3 or 4 years later. I said, why the delay? And he explained something. He said, it's the way people respond to what he's been saying. If the warning voice of the prophets and men of God go out and people humble themselves, they change the facts. So they're getting out of sin, they're repenting, so God grants them more time. And if they're faithful with the revelation that's going forth, then there's a reason to wait. It's wise to wait because they're going to influence people in a greater way instead of in an evil way. See, when you change, your influence changes with you. Your advice changes. Your character changes. And it starts conforming to God. Look at little children are seeing their parents pray for the first time because they heard the warning voice of God and they're repenting. Then God's going to give more time. That's the purpose of prophecy, to save life, not just to show that the prophet was telling the truth. It's to save life. It didn't offend me when God delayed. I just asked why. Because I said, if I said that he was coming imminently years ago and he didn't come yet, I need to tell people what's going on. So in the right occasions, I was able to do so. I told them what God told me. They changed the facts as they repented. There's a great revival going on. And since I brought that up, the Lord gave me a dream. First day of the year. Saturday morning, I woke up. I had just had a dream about I was at a church service, a large church service, and people were waiting patiently for hours. They were sitting there waiting, for a man to walk out on that stage and begin a revival. And they were patiently waiting. I didn't know what. I came late to the service, and I sat down in an empty seat, and happened to be near a girl I went to school with. And I didn't know what was going on. People were just waiting. And then she said, "We're waiting on a man to come out. He's going to start a revival now." I said, I said, "The revival won't start with a man anymore. It's going to start with individuals who love God." She said, "Oh," and she got out of her seat and began to leave. And I got out of my seat and I continued to talk to her. I said, "When you draw near to the Lord, he'll draw near to you." I said, "The revival is already going in play. It's already going on. You have to draw near to the Lord." So I was sent there for her. And the man never did come out on the stage. But the people were still waiting for a man to walk out on the stage and start a revival. They wanted revival. They prayed for it. They were patiently waiting for this revival. But the revival has already begun in the hearts of those who diligently seek the Lord, who really want him, who took heed. All the warnings of 2015, the blood moons, all the warnings. People have taken heed. When COVID happened, you couldn't find a Bible at Walmart. People bought them up. There are people who broke their heart and they're seeking the Lord like never before. The Lord had me on the. From the time that the Lord had me, from the time He told me, "Tell my people my return is imminent. Be ready that they be not left." See, I hadn't heard language like that in recent years. Until that moment, it sounded like preachers in the 80s used to say that all the time. But now it was God telling me that, to tell his people that. Because they have a soothing gospel that leaves that part out. And they even tell people, you can't be left behind if you're a Christian. God said, "Tell my people, my return is imminent. And tell them to be ready that they be not left." Yes, you can be left. If you side with the world like the men of Judah, you can be left here. Because you changed the facts in you. You once loved God, now you quit. So God can't take sin to heaven. I'm sorry. He's not going to do that. And I know he ain't going to do it. And he can't do it. Verse 11 proves it. If you read it slow enough, God loves his people and he's pleading with them. So in 2016, he was pleading with preachers, trying to get them on board. He even told me this. I'm driving my truck down I-22 thinking about this. I said, "Lord, if you come now, it's a lot of things people haven't heard yet." And the Lord said, I've been warning people for a long time. I've sent preachers to churches, to warn the pastors, to warn the people to repent, and they wouldn't repent. I started a long time ago because I love him. He was explaining these things to me. And I knew what I went through in the early 90s, how the Lord sent me to tell people to, for a whole decade, he sent me to tell people to follow God. And a few times after that, follow God, follow God, follow God. Do it God's way. Don't do it. Don't do the old protocol. Do it God's way. Go in prayer and get your instructions like Peter and Paul did. No, they wouldn't do that. They kept going right on with their protocol. They never deviated from their organizations, the way they thought it should be, and what they feared people wanted. That's what they preach. Then the Lord told me recently, I'm like, Lord, I noticed a long time ago, what I heard in the prayer room and what I heard over the pulpit became two different things. I got concerned. I said, what's going on? And just recently, he said, pastors and many ministries, they went astray. They preach the word without responsibility. They don't preach the people's responsibility. They want crowds. And he told me they're being paid not to preach what should be preached. Somebody will say, by who? The government? By the people that don't want it, that don't want the gospel preached. That includes possibly governments and sometimes the masses of the people. But at the end of the day, they're getting paid not to preach the pure word of God. They're being paid to preach smooth things. And then when they do it, they preach in bait because they put it in the future. God's going to bless you. Always God's going to. No, he already gave us his word. We need to do our part. So when you have a heart of God, then all of the word is true for you. When you have the word of God, all of the word is true for you. And you can go forward. All right, let's look at verse 12 again. All right, verse 11. Let's go back to 11. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry to me, I will not hearken to them. And then shall the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem go and cry unto the gods unto whom they offer incense, but they shall not save them at all in the time of their trouble. And the preachers that took bribes, they won't be able to save the masses of the people when they get in trouble. Same situation. They wouldn't listen to the God. They wouldn't listen to the Lord. The people wouldn't, and the pastors wouldn't, the ones that wouldn't. So God's got a protocol, just like the men of Judah. All right, verse 13. For according to the number of thy cities were thy gods, O Judah. And according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem, have you set up altars to that shameful thing, even altars to burn incense to Baal. And this is a shame. This is in Jeremiah's day. Judah had fallen. They're about to go into Babylonian captivity because they had fallen. Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. There are times the Lord will tell you not to pray for people because those people turn their heart and they're not going to repent. And when the Lord say don't pray for a person, they're in trouble. We're going somewhere with this. Listen to this. Verse 15. What hath my beloved to do in mine house, seeing she hath wrought lewdness with many, and the holy flesh is passed from me? When thou doest evil, then thou rejoicest. God can't take people like that away. He can't take them to heaven. The Lord has to have a protocol for this kind of debauchery. Verse 16. The Lord called thy name a green olive tree, fair and good and of goodly fruit, with the noise of a great tumult. He hath kindled a fire upon it, and the branches thereof, the branches of it are broken. For the Lord of hosts that planted thee has pronounced evil against thee. Verse 17. For the evil of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah, which they have done against themselves to provoke me to anger in offering incense to Baal. And the Lord has given me knowledge of it, and I know it. Then thou showest me thy doings. You know, they set up, Jonathan Cahn showed us that they put an arch of Baal, what was it, in Washington and New York. The leaders of our country did. Evil. Okay, before Trump. Verse 19. But I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter, and I knew not that they had devised evil, that they had devised devices against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered. They want to kill the man of God and the word that God gave him, which is his fruit, so that they could live. Verse 20, but O Lord of hosts, that judges righteously, that tries the reins and the heart. You see that? Let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I revealed my cause. God is judging the reins and hearts of people, and you have to respect that. He know what he's doing. The Lord said when the rapture come, not one mistake would be made. If he take those he took to heaven, he should have took them. Those he leave here, he should have left them. Verse 21, therefore thus saith the Lord, at the men of Anathoth that seek thy life, saying, prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that you die not by our hand.